But it was because of their diet, you're saying, or?
Well, they ate dogs and everything, you know.
It wasn't because of their hygiene?
Yeah, it was, well, their hygiene too. But, that's about it.
Well, thank you, Bill.
It's beautiful country, though.
Thank you, Bill, I appreciate this interview.
You're welcome.
And, we'll get on with our next interview. Well, we're privileged to have two brothers here that have gone to Vietnam. My next interviewee is John Wayne Fleming, the brother of Bill Fleming, as a matter of fact. Wayne, you were over in Vietnam. You went over prior to Bill, but I guess I need to ask you your information first, background information. Your date of birth?
8th month, first day, 1935.
Place of birth?
Etowah County, Gaston, Alabama.
Parents' names?
It was Maybelle Roberta Fleming and Fletcher Fleming, John Fletcher Fleming.
Spouse's name?
Ben.
Education?
Graduated from 10th grade.
You had some extra education, though, technical education as well.
Oh, yeah, from going to electrical school and all that, but as far as public education, that was all.
Okay, and the jobs, like the job, for instance, that you were hired to do in Vietnam, now this was under government contract as well.
That was a government contract made out to, I worked for Walter Kitta Corporation, which is with a big conglomerate with several different corporations joined together, like B.B. McCormick, Brown and Root Construction. There's several of them anyway. I was hired basically as an electrician to go to work on building of an air base in Vietnam.
Okay, you left America.
1966. I don't recall. It's been 30 years ago and how long it was, but it was in 1966.
What was your expectations when you was flying over there, when you was in the air and on your trip?
We have a lot of apprehensions of going to a foreign country that your country's in war with, you know. You don't know what to expect. There's a lot of things that's just unknown, so you're nervous, you're frightened, you're afraid. You don't know what the hell to expect.
So you landed and came in by aircraft?
Yeah, we left Jacksonville, flew to California, and changed planes, flew to Hawaii, stayed 3 or 4 days in Hawaii, if my memory is right, and then flew to the Republic of Taiwan, Taipei, Taiwan. Stayed 2 or 3 days there, and then flew to Vietnam, little community on the South China Sea called Tuiwa, which is north of Cam Ranh Bay. And we had to land on mats in a C-130. It was uneventful at that point. We lived in tents until they brought supplies in to where we could start building the base.
Okay. What was the first endeavor? What did they first put you to work doing?
Well, the first endeavor was then was building housing, putting modular trailers together, and building a power plant, which is a generator power plant, for housing for the military as well as the civilians.
You were an electrician there.
Right.
What exactly, the electrician, the work that you did was for the housing and for runways?
Well, that come later, the runway come later. First thing that we did was get modular housing in that was shipped in by freighter. And we put them together, wired them in, built the generator plants, got them in operations. And then at that point, next thing we built, of course, surprisingly, is the Officers Club. Next thing after the Officers Club was the NCO Club. And then after that, of course, was housing for the military troops, because they were living in tents at the time.
What did you expect of the culture? What did you find of the culture of the area and the the atmosphere in itself, as far as you're working in a foreign country and there's a conflict going on, and I mean, what kind of things went through your mind?
Well, it wasn't really as bad as people say it is, you know, the particular area I was in, because you finally realize that once you get over there that the Vietnamese people are like a lot of people, they're peasants, so to speak, you know. You hired a lot of them to work on the base. Mostly workers were female workers, really and truly. I'd say probably the biggest majority of them, probably maybe 70% were female and maybe 30% were male, to work on the base. Their culture is a lot different than ours. I don't know really how to explain it, because not knowing, you know, when you get over there and you find out that basically these people were really just human people, just like we were. Good, some bad.
What were some of your experiences over there with the people?
We had a crew, and an interpreter. We had to hire so many nationals. I don't recall, I think it was like the contract, we had to hire like 20% maybe of nationals, which were the South Vietnamese people. And that's what we had to do, and we had them out there. Instead of using a compactor to tamp the earth for a base for a runway or a taxiway, we had people out there with hand taps just working.
What's a hand tap? Can you describe a hand tap for us?
Well, in this case, it was just like a 2x4, about 6 feet long. It was like a 1x12 on, nailed over the bottom of it just to tamp the earth with. And that we'd get out there, and you'd have 20 or 30 of them. Each crew would have one. I had a crew that was probably 20 crews. And they would get out there and tamp, and they would bring their little aluminum buckets that had their rice and their fish in. And, you know, you get used to the smell after a while, but it seems like they're fish, decomposing fish, you know. Great delicacy to them, I found out, was lizards. We killed a big lizard. One of the people grabbed it and buried it underneath the sand, wrapped in a little leaf and buried it underneath the sand, put a little stick there where they could find it again. Cook it, I guess.
So they let it, a dead lizard lay there during the day until they were ready to eat it?
Evidently, it's kind of like I've heard about Hawaii and bury a pig or something, but basically it's the same thing, but this was a lizard and this evidently was a delicacy to them. And then they would chew the beetle nut. You'd see them, and first one I seen had red beetle nut. I thought they were bleeding, you know.
Their mouth was bleeding?
It looked that way. It was bright red. And then you had the black beetle nut. It was kind of a narcotic thing. And they would chew that. And you had the black beetle nut and the red beetle nut.
And how would you describe the beetle nut as far as, you say it's a narcotic, something like what we would... take like a drink of alcohol to relax us or to soothe us? Is that the way they
I can't really answer that. I can only answer what I've read, you know, about it and what people was talking about. They say it would give you a high. It's kind of like the American Indians would eat mushrooms or something like that to get some kind of a high, hallucinogenic drug.
Peyote.
Yeah. And basically, that was it. But everybody, well, not everybody, I'd say probably maybe 40 or 50% of the workers chewed either beetle nut or red or black beetle nut. I don't know the difference in it. I never tried it.
Did you see any military activity that was indicative of the war effort in your area?
No, basically, while we were confined to the base, you know, except when we could get out and go into the local little city that was proud of what they called tin cities because of the corrugated metal that they would build them. They could put one up real fast, and you'd be surprised that serve drinks, have music. I even heard Elvis Presley over there. I heard the platters one time. They have jukeboxes. It would be kind of like people that lived many years ago and remember Phoenix City, Alabama. It would be about the same thing.
Okay. Phoenix City like in the 50s?
Right, like in the 50s, late 40s or the 50s, you know, wide open prostitution, etc. It's surprising that you can leave a base and, in fact, incidents would happen. They would have the Vietnamese would set up roadblocks and charge you a fee to go into town. You know, they didn't shoot you. Well, they wanted your money. They didn't want your life. And you'd go into town and you could drink beer, you could get scotch, you could get all kinds of drinks.
Tell me some more about the people. Did you see any inhumane acts?
Oh, you've seen that all the time. Well, you didn't see as much of it, though, because we were not in the field. You got to remember, you would hear stories about it, and you would see some cases where they brought prisoners back. Probably the toughest people in the world were the ROKs, or Republic of Korea. The religion over there was such that the Vietnamese believed that if they should die and was missing a body part, so to speak, that they wouldn't be able to get to go to heaven as we know heaven. And so the Americans couldn't make the prisoners talk, but the ROKs could, because they would just cut them open, eat their heart. The rest of them would talk. Because it would be a body part missing instead of a hand off or something. I didn't say too much, as I heard a lot about it.
You didn't see that sort of thing?
No, not that much.
The ROKs, can you tell me a little more about the ROKs and themselves? I mean, they were the South Vietnamese?
No, they were, no, South Koreans.
Oh, South Korea.
They were Republic of Korea, and that was nicknamed ROKs. They were real bad. The Aussies were pretty bad, the Australians, but the ROKs were the toughest people that they had there as far as fighting or soldiering goes. The problem with the American troops over there was political war. And you would see that by the waste all around you. Big corporations making money on government contracts. It takes you a while to learn that and see it, but then after a while you realize it. That this is a money war, it's a political war. It had nothing to do with winning a war or losing a war. I'd say the average person, just from my limited knowledge, would be that they didn't give a shit about the Americans, you know, or anybody else. I mean, let's face it, the French tried for many years, you know, over there, and then they moved out and the Americans moved in. But the corporations got rich over there at the expense of the American people.
Let me stop you right there for a moment so I can turn the tape over. We're about to run out of time on this tape. I'll turn the tape over and we will continue our interview if that's all right with you.
Yep, or drink a scotch.